Thank you, Katie. I feel like I was just enjoying your reading so much. You've a great. I was sitting there feeling quite relaxed, and then I thought, actually, I must get up. I feel like, could I maybe get us to draw a bit closer together? I feel so sorry, Dawn, because you have like this amazing sofa there. But even like one row forward, you don't have to literally sit next to each other. But is that okay? Oh wow. Okay. That's. No, wherever you want to sit is fine. Okay, great, thank you. Dawn, no. I always share the same story with Dawn whenever I see her, which I'm not. It's like Boulder Gang 2003, and we were watching Big Brother on her TV in the caravan. Anyway, so long. Yes, I'm glad to see things have, you know, technology has moved on, but maybe. Yeah. Okay, excellent. Anyway, sorry. So I'm Steve. I think I know most of you. Yes, and I am now a reverend. But I never ever introduce myself as a reverend. I don't really even think of myself as a reverend, but I am reverend. Yes, and I've even been given responsibility for a church called St. Nicholas in Orpington. And some of you have been there, actually, looking around. Susie has led worship there. Which is, and I was just thinking about it as I was here, because it's actually like this 1950s building. It's actually an amazing space to do loads of different things, but it looks like a hall. So as I'm here in St. Matt's, and this is like a cathedral. I was literally, yes, as we were worshiping, I just had this experience of, I feel like I'm in like St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, and there's amazing, beautiful windows, and look up there, look at the shape of that window, and you have like, all, you know, names of the saints on the walls, and I don't know, like our building is like, it's like a wooden floor and like plain walls, and it's, you know, when you've been in a different environment and you suddenly come back. So St. Matt's, you are literally worshipping in like the St. Paul's Cathedral of High Brooms, but you don't know. And also this morning I was a preacher already once a day. We had our 9 o'clock BCP Book of Common Prayer communion, and there were four of us there, so like my congregation has tripled, you know, over the course of the day. So just God gives the increase. So this is exciting. Anyway, and there was this other passage I think I was supposed to preach on, but after various discussions with your leadership team, they allowed me to slightly tweak it. So we're looking at this, Luke 12, do not worry. And it is the season of Advent. Everyone excited about Advent? Yep. And we put up our Christmas tree. Yes, I know. Yes, someone in my church was shocked about that, but I think it's all right. I think in December. Anyway, the season of Advent, but it is. I feel this theme does tie in with the season of Advent, and I was just reading something earlier today on a major national newspaper's website, and it said this: a third of women feel more stressed throughout December than any other month across the year. So. I don't know. And some men are stressed as well. On top of the Christmas stresses and strains, this time of year makes us particularly accident prone, apparently. So there is an increase of stress in this period of Advent and Christmas. 1 in 10 spill burning hot fat on themselves when dealing with a roast potatoes or turkey. Sorry, this is just to add to your worries. While nearly 20% cut themselves prepping the veg. So a quarter of Britons admit to feeling stress over the festive season. The pressure to host family and friends and cook provide the most festive fear. And 3% of people apparently suffer an electric shock due to badly wired Christmas lighting. 1 in 50 fall out of the loft trying to get tinsel and baubles down. And some 2.6 million people have even fallen off a stool or ladder while hanging up the decorations. And young people often fare the worst, with 8% of 16 to 24-year-olds making a trip to A&E during the festive season. And the research also shows that 500,000 people have had a gas leak over Christmas. Sorry, I feel like I'm preaching the opposite of that message. But, yes. But, just to say that it is, so as well as a festive season, there are apparently some stresses around. And I think people do get worried, perhaps more, in my experience, about the relational stuff, so different people are brought together at Christmas who, I have to be so careful. Is this recorded? Okay. I don't worry about that, but other people I know worry about, yes. Anyway, there's just stresses with Christmas. So, into the middle of the Advent season, the Christmas season, Jesus says, "Do not worry," in this well-known passage. And as I've thought about this passage, it's reminded me of something. So if we have the next slide, does anyone know what those are? If you watch Bake Off, you might know. Brandy's. They're actually Italian, to give you. Cannoli! Amazing. Yes, there you go. Excellent. They are called cannoli. And this summer, so with my family, I'm married. Most of you know. Anyway, I'm married with children. With my family, we were on holiday in Italy, and my kids love this. So it's kind of a puff pastry. It's covered in sugar, and it's filled with this lemony cream. It's amazing. But cannoli is particularly famous for a quote from a certain film, The Godfather. And I would never show this clip because it's just not appropriate for church. But there's just a famous line in it, where they talk about leaving the gun and taking the cannoli. And it's not from a family-friendly scene, but it's quite a well-known phrase. And I have a visual illustration of that. So I'm aware that St. Matt's is like the visually and graphically a very cool church, and these are not going to be very cool slides. But and even the next slide, I think. So there's somebody called Clemenza in a scene from the first Godfather film. Asked someone to leave the gun and take the cannoli. And I guess for this Italian mobster at that particular moment, the cannoli was the most important thing, and the gun in that situation was not. But for me, it does tie in with our passage, because I think, you know, Jesus isn't saying leave the gun and take the cannoli, but he is telling us to leave behind worry and instead take God's kingdom. Thank you, Gordon. So leave worry. So leave that gun, as it were, of worry. Do not worry and take the kingdom. And I think, you know, Jesus' words are easier said than done, but it is something I have thought about a lot over the last couple of years, I guess particularly since I became a vicar. It's like a constant command I have to come back to. And actually, I found that, you know, we can read it and think, but how on earth do you actually do that? But there are some practical things we can do. And so we're going to do a couple of them right now, actually. Yeah, so could I ask you all to stand, actually? It's probably been a long day, or long week. But, yeah, if you could stand, and then if you could look up towards the ceiling and do your best smile. So, smile. Yep. Let that smile spread across your whole face. Now, as you're standing, looking up at the ceiling and smiling, maintain that pose and try and feel sad. Okay? Keep smiling. Keep looking up. Try and feel sad. And you may stop. And I don't know about you, but it's tricky, isn't it? Yeah? Like, someone else told me about this a while ago, but it's weird how actually our body, our posture, you know, actually the physical nature of our bodies actually does tie in, I think, to this concept of worry. And actually, there are things we can do. You may sit down, okay? There's one more thing. Now, as you're sat there in your beautiful green chairs, which look really comfy, actually, I've realised. So Matt says really comfy chairs. Anyway, as you sit there, I just want you to just take a moment to have a think about what problems do I have right now? And I don't mean what problems will I have when I go into work or school or whatever tomorrow or Monday. And I don't even mean what problems do I have that are kind of the residue of whatever happened on Friday or Saturday evening or this morning that's still weighing on my mind. So if you can, forget all that, yesterday, tomorrow. I just mean, you know, what problem do I have right here, right now, sat in St. Matt's Church on Sunday, the 2nd December 2018, this evening. What problem do I have right now? Just take a moment. And I think for most of us, unless you suddenly realize you're sitting on a rusty nail or something, hopefully we can safely answer none. And I know even I can say that actually right now I have no problems. In this present moment, I am actually free. because all my problems are actually either tied to worrying about something that happened last week or even this afternoon or something that I'm going to have to face in the future. But right here and right now, I have no worries. And actually, I think that's the point Jesus is making, that the moment we hopefully experience just then, when we stopped and realized that we had no worries at this precise moment in time, is exactly how the wildflower lives every moment, every day. Or exactly how the raven lives. And there's a writer who comments on this passage from Luke, and he talks about the beautiful flowers that are not anxious about tomorrow, but live with ease in the timeless now and are provided for abundantly by God. Jesus says, consider how the wildflowers grow. Consider the ravens. Look at the flowers. Look at the ravens. And I think kind of one of my revelations this year in 2018 has been, well, basically, I think before I didn't realize that Jesus really meant it. I don't know about you, but like I've read this passage loads of times, but I didn't realize he really, really, really meant it. Like to perhaps, especially if you live in a town, we might even need to take a walk into the countryside to do this, or your garden or whatever. But actually to like look at a flower, and I do actually recommend it, or a tree. You know, take a few minutes, look at it, look at that flower or that tree that is, of course, always only aware of this moment, always only living in the now. And Jesus is saying to us that we can actually live like that. And if we could just have the next slide. And I read this quote recently, which sort of clarified this. It said, have you ever seen an unhappy flower or a stressed oak tree? Have you come across a depressed dolphin, a frog that has a problem with self-esteem, a cat that cannot relax, or a bird that carries hatred and resentment? And I'm hoping not. Yeah, I mean, yeah, dogs can get upset anyway, but on the whole, no. And actually, it's almost as if there's some of God's commands or the way, you know, Jesus is asking us to be, that nature seems more able to obey, I suppose, than we are. Do not worry, Jesus is saying. Do not be afraid. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And the answer, of course, is no one. Leave the gun. Do not worry. Instead, take the cannoli. And the cannoli in this passage is God's kingdom. Seek God's kingdom first. And I think I've come to the conclusion that just means putting God first. And as I've thought about worry, I just think so many of us, I guess, worry so much because we feel responsible for the course and direction of our lives. We feel responsible for carrying our own lives and maybe those of our siblings, perhaps, or partners, or children, or grandchildren, or perhaps our parents or grandparents. We feel responsible. And God is saying, actually, no, you don't have to live in kind of this little kingdom where you are the king or queen. Instead, you get to be part of my kingdom where God, the Father who knows your needs, is King. And if we seek God's kingdom, Jesus is saying, if we get to know the King of the entire universe, then it's funny how other stuff seems to get sorted out. Seek God's kingdom first. And I wonder if we could have the next slide. Oh, does anyone know what this is, by the way? I heard the word pendulum. Yes, it's a pendulum. It's quite a famous pendulum. Actually, I'm realizing as I look at it, this isn't the original one. Yes, there could be one in the Science Museum. This is a Foucault's pendulum. So it's a model of, there's actually a famous Foucault's pendulum. Has anyone heard of Foucault's pendulum? Or anyway, Doesn't matter. So it's something that I saw once when I lived in France. It's in a building called the Pantheon in Paris. And it looks like that, but it hangs from this wire that would go up to the roof of this building, I think. Anyway, a pendulum that swings, called Foucault's pendulum. And it swings like this, sort of all day long, you know, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And every now and then they put sand underneath it to demonstrate what it does. And what it does is it makes lines in the sand. And then gradually, during the course of that day, the lines gradually form a circle, if you know what I mean. A bit like if you can imagine those lines there expanding outwards. So what is apparently happening is that the pendulum is kind of at the suspended fixed point. And actually, it's the Earth rotating underneath it. So I'm not quite sure how the science of it works. Some of you will know, some of you understand this. But the Earth is rotating underneath it. So it's as if it's kind of the one fixed point in the universe, really. Foucault's pendulum. Really worth seeing, actually. So if you're ever in Paris, I recommend it. The Earth is moving underneath it. The pendulum is fixed. And I think Jesus is saying that about God's kingdom. And it's as if everything else, the ravens, the birds, the flowers of the field, grass, money, clothes, tomorrow, they're all in constant motion and movement. And they're all actually temporary. They won't always be here, but there is one thing that is always here and will always be here, and that's God's kingdom. And it's as if he's asking us to go to that kind of fixed point of that pendulum, like Foucault's pendulum, to go to that one constant in the universe and make our home there. Set our hearts on that point, on God's kingdom. And actually, as we do that, we begin to find that everything else revolves around God. It revolves around him. What truly helps us to leave behind worry is being close to God, is seeking his kingdom, is seeing everything else going on around him. So leave the gun, Jesus is saying. Leave behind worry. And take the cannoli. Seek God's kingdom. Take that opportunity to make God your king. And Jesus is saying that as we do that, actually, we'll find that worry has less of a hold, less power on us. Amen. And can I just pray for you? So, yeah, that's the end of what I was going to say. But yeah, let's just pray for a moment. Lord, thank you that you bring freedom to us, that actually your good news sets us free. And in this season of Advent and Christmas, I pray that we would know that freedom from worry that you preached. Lord, I pray for each of us that we would learn from, whether it is the flowers, the birds, nature, Lord, that you pointed out, actually we would learn how to live in that place of freedom from worry about tomorrow. But I pray also that you would draw each of us nearer to you, Lord, to that fixed point of the universe where we realize that everything else revolves around you. It doesn't revolve around us. Pray for each of us here that we would be able to make you the king, that we would be able to seek your kingdom first. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.